Okay, Judge Barton.
Yes, here.
All right, Ms. Carter.
Here.
Judge Buckley.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Fannin.
Here.
Judge Heinrichs. Okay, Judge Kelly.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Ryan is unable to make it today. Ms. Fleming?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Planet? Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Turner?
Here.
Thank you. And Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
Great. And I just wanted to confirm that John Wardlaw, Zocco, and Fran are on the line.
Okay, great.
Yes, Fran is here.
Good afternoon. John Wardlaw as well.
Great. Okay, Judge Barton, I will kick it back to you.
Okay. Well, thank you all for taking time from your schedule at this unusual time period. Today we're going to be going ahead and reviewing allocations to both the Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and the TCTF. The allocations we're looking at are based largely on the January budget proposal from the governor. Obviously, as spelled out in the materials, the impact of the COVID-19 crisis on the courts is uncertain at this point in time. Clearly, there's going to be an impact. We just don't know when and what that's going to be. So to keep the schedule going forward as appropriate, we're going to go forward with this, recognizing that we are going to probably have to revisit some of these issues as time goes on. The first item on the agenda was approval of the minutes from May 22, 2019. Has everyone had a chance to look at them, and do I hear a motion?
Yamasaki moves.
Turner second.
All right, any discussion? And if anyone is opposed to approving the minutes, please let us know now.
This is
all right, I will deem.
But I'm abstaining.
Okay. And that was who? Judge Kelly?
Yes. Sorry. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. You got
all right,
it.
Thank you. All right. Looks like the minutes are approved. We've asked John Wardlaw to be present. For those of you who haven't met him yet, he is the Chief Administrative Officer of the Judicial Council. He's got an extensive background in state financing. We wanted him to give us a quick snapshot of where we are and what we can expect moving forward in terms of branch funding. And John, what are you hearing, and what is your best guess at this point in time?
Okay, thank you, Judge. I appreciate you allowing me a few minutes. So with respect to the overall budget climate, it is looking pretty bleak at this time. COVID has really, really slowed down the financial markets. I thought I might spend just a minute or so giving some context of the state budget. So with that, on the revenue side of the ledger, at the January 10 budget release, the revenues were projected to be for the 2021 fiscal year right at about $151 billion coming in. And the main sources of revenues for the state general fund are the personal income tax is number one, and it tracks about 67% of dollars coming into the state. The next biggest general fund collector is sales and use tax at about 18.5%. And then finally have the corporate tax about 10.4%. There are other tax revenues that benefit the general fund, but those are the three big hitters as far as revenue coming into the state. Now, on the other side of the ledger, we have expenditures, and so on the expenditure side, you have health and human services as the biggest spender of general fund revenues, coming in at about 32% of the state's general fund goes to Health and Human Services. The other big hitter is education, K through 12, at about just under 28%. Those are the entities that consume most of the state's general fund resources. Our branch, judiciary, is just about just under 1.5% of the state's general fund. So we are not big consumers of general fund. That said, when the economy takes a hit, all parties generally play to some degree. And so I fully expect, and what I'm hearing from our friends at, within the administration and the legislature, is that for the upcoming May revision, I think the governor will be scaling back quite significantly on all discretionary policy-related proposals. And so what's very likely is what's called a baseline budget will be coming forward. The primary areas that I think you'll see some level of increase are obviously in health for the COVID, wildfire prevention, and homelessness continue to be high priorities. I don't think they're going to scale back down to zero. I think they'll be scaling back, and you'll see. But with respect to our branch, I do think that all the things that we had seen at the January 10 budget that were new items of a discretionary nature are going to be pulled back, I think. I think that's a reasonable expectation to see at the May revise. The Assembly Committee on Budget, chaired by Assembly Member King, released a letter earlier this week that many of you may have seen. And in that document, it outlined the legislature's, at least the Assembly side, priority is a baseline budget, primarily workload-based, will be what they're targeting for the June 15th requirement to pass a budget. So we expect that there will be a baseline workload-only budget going forward for the Budget Act. And then, as many of you know, that the tax season has been deferred this year to July. That is important in that the revenue projections that the administration puts together is really what the legislature and the governor use to determine how much spending for the next year is going to be delayed. So that baseline budget comes out in June. That will be the Budget Act. And then you'll see in August they're going to have what they're calling an August revision that will be informed by the revenue updates that are generated as a result of the tax season being a July moment this year. So with that, the signal is that to the extent that the markets are still down, they are indicating that there are potential for reductions. And so, again, I want to highlight that Health and Human Services and K through 12 are the biggest consumers of the state general fund, and generally in economic challenging times, they are the biggest players when it comes to reductions. I want to be very clear that I've had no indication whatsoever from the administration at this point that a specific targeted amount of reduction is been identified, but clearly with the markets down, and if we continue on this track, the governor and the legislature will have no other choice, I think, than to consider reductions amongst a wide variety of entities. So with that, I'll take a pause and see if there are any questions, and then let the committee get back to its business.
All right, any questions for Mr.
John?
Wardlaw?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, thank you, John. This is Sherry. If there's no, it sounds like there's no questions.
Okay. Sherry, I think you were going to do the first agenda item, and thank you very much, Mr. Wardlaw.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
So I would like to introduce Jason Haas, who's a senior analyst with the Judicial Council Budget Services, who will walk us through item one regarding the IMF funds. So, Jason, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Great. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So, item number one, I'd first like to direct you to attachment 1A, which is page 9 of your materials. This attachment is broken down into sections to make it easier for you to view the current year as well as the proposed allocations for 2021. Column F represents allocations for 1920. Column I is the requested allocation for 2021. Columns J and K represent the dollar and percentage change from current year to budget year. And rows 47 and 48 are the adjustments due to the pending budget change proposals for IT. In summary, the requested allocation of $65.3 million for 2021 is a decrease of $14.7 million from 1920. And the decrease is due to sunsetting BCP funding and program completion from prior years. In the event that the pending BCPs are not approved in part or in whole, the request could decrease by an amount up to $11.3 million, down to $54 million total. However, the status of the BCPs will be known prior to the July Judicial Council meeting, and therefore a definitive amount will be known by that time. The COVID-19 crisis has created uncertainties related to the state budget process, and it is anticipated that modifications to the allocations may be necessary based on available state revenues and final budget decisions. The bottom portion of attachment 1A on page 10 is a summary of the total allocations requested by office. Total requested allocations for 2021 are $6.5 million for state operations and $58.8 million for local assistance. What we just gave you is detail in preparation for item 1, which can be found on page 5. And we're now going to go down, go office by office and give you a little bit about their request and some details. So Audit Services is requesting approximately $410,000, and this amount is unchanged from last year. Rancher County and Procurement is requesting $151,500. This is an increase of $12,875 from last year. The allocation is for staff that supports the procurement needs of the courts, and the increase is due to increased staffing costs. Business Management Services is requesting $8,500. Last year, this allocation resided within the Budget Services Office. This allocation is for travel-related expenses for the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee, and this amount is unchanged from last year. Center for Families, Children, and Courts is requesting an allocation of approximately $6.9 million, which is an increase of about $1 million from prior year. The majority of this amount is for the Shriver Civil Council, as there is a change to the Code of Civil Procedures in 2017-18, which diverted funds into the IMF. It was anticipated for 1 year. However, some of this money has continued to flow in through 1920. So these funds are reserved within the IMF and can only be spent on that purpose. Therefore, the program is requesting to use the money that has continued to trickle in, which is that extra $1 million. In addition, this program has absorbed the court interpreters testing and funding of $143,000 on an ongoing basis. That funding previously resided in Court Operations Services. Next, the Center for Judiciary Education and Research is requesting $1.2 million, and this amount is unchanged from previous year. Budget Services is requesting $371,500. This is an increase of $13,784, and the increase is due to increased staffing costs. Human Resources is requesting $22,700, and that represents no change from prior year. Information Technology is requesting approximately $54.1 million. This is a decrease of $14 million. And the decrease is largely due to what we mentioned earlier, which is an adjustment in multi-year funding authorized in 1920 for the BCP for case management system. They had much more money front-loaded in 1920 and less money in 2021, and it decreases the year after that. Legal Services Offices is requesting $2.1 million. This is a decrease of $1.8 million from prior year, and the reduction is primarily due to litigation that did not end up materializing. So that you can be assured that the IMF has sufficient funding to support their overall request, please see attachment 1C on page 13 of your materials. This is the IMF fund condition statement. Column D, row 25, represents the 1920 forecasted ending fund balance of $17.1 million, and column E, row 25, represents an estimated funded balance for 2021 of about $20.9 million. Now, obviously, this is estimated revenues of which are going to be affected by COVID-19. So while the anticipated reductions from COVID-19 cannot be accurately quantified at this time, the impacts of revenue could be immediate and could affect the fiscal year, the current fiscal year, and will certainly affect 2021. However, even a substantial temporary reduction to the estimated revenues would not endanger the fund solvency and would still support the proposed level of allocations before you today, assuming the support from the general fund remains stable. But going back to the item, the recommendation on page 8 is to approve the 2021 allocations from the IMF under either scenario of either full or partial BCP approval. And due to the COVID-19 crisis, the final allocation amounts for 2021 will be based on available state revenues and final budget decisions. This concludes our presentation of item number 1, and if there's any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Haas. Are there any questions? Do I have a motion to approve the recommendation?
This is Kim Turner. I'll move approval.
Yamasaki seconds.
Okay. Any discussion? Does anyone oppose the motion? Then we will consider the motion passed, and I will turn it over to Judge Barton for item 2.
Okay, item 2 is allocations from the trial or from the trial court trust fund for 2021, and Oksana Tuck, a senior analyst with the Judicial Council Budget Office, is going to present that item. So why don't you go ahead and lead off?
Thank you, Judge. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tuck, senior budget analyst with Budget Services. The Judicial Council brings before the subcommittee and request adoption of recommended preliminary 2020-21 trial court trust fund allocation totaling $225.4 million. This is an increase of approximately $13 million from 2019-20, driven by the combination of increases and decreases in funding for various programs. Additionally, we request approval for repayment of the general fund e-filing loan in the amount of $1,162,000 plus accrued interest by June 30, 2021 using TCDF unrestricted fund balance. I would like to begin by directing your attention to attachment A, which details recommended allocation for Judicial Council staff in amount of $3.8 million and expenses on behalf of trial courts in the amount of $22.2 million. Attachment D provides narratives on each of recommended allocations. Just to highlight major changes in both areas, those include an increase of $10,604,000 for Sergeant Shriver's Civil Council Pilot Program due to increased revenues from AB 330, which has increased fees designated for this program by 150% starting January 1st, 2020. The first year allocation with new funding is projected at only 100% increase to ensure sufficient funds are available. Next is a decrease of $150,000 in a statewide support for collection program to support a contract to update benchmarks that are currently 12 years old. Originally, funding for consultants was procured from savings in 2018-19, which resulted in $181,000 in savings for 2019-20 and reduced needs in 2020-21. Subsequently, funding was adjusted by $31,000 due to increased staffing costs. Next, an increase of $1,092,000 $767 for civil, small claims, probate, and mental health, these three case management systems. Three superior courts, Sacramento, San Diego, and Ventura, have not completed their transition from CMS V3 system and will fund the continued support of the system in 2020-21. I want to emphasize that court executive officers for all three courts have committed to paying 100% of V3 support costs, and there should not be any concerns about payments being in full and on time, as we are using Schedule C process to charge, which means dollar amount I established in the beginning of the fiscal year and will reduce court TCTF allocations on a monthly basis. Next is a reduction of $62,200 down to $0 for interim case management system based on zero court utilizing CCTC hosting, and the program is ending in 2019-20. Also, an increase of $110,350 for Phoenix Financial and Human Resources due to an increase of staffing costs. A reduction of $433,417 for other post-employment benefits valuation based on the contract second year in a two-year cycle, which does not require high level of data gathering and development of actuarial reports. A decrease of $207,833 for statewide e-filing funds carried over from 2017-18 and 2018-19 due to delays in implementation. Funding is provided through a general fund loan, and implementation delays have resulted in delayed revenue collection to repay the loan. Based on that, we're requesting approval of $1,162,000 in TCPF unrestricted funds to repay the general fund loan plus accrued interest. And lastly, an increase of $963 for State Controller's Office audits of child courts, which reflects funding included in 2020-21 governor's budget as a result of budget change proposals. All other recommendations not mentioned above remain the same from 2019-20 allocation. Now moving to Attachment C, which provides recommendations for allocating funds in support of child court operations in amount of $199.4 million. Only reimbursements to trial courts are considered for recommendation and are shown in column C of the attachment. Other allocations are dependent upon enactment of the state budget, have already been acted on by the council, are required by statute, or are authorized charges for cost of program. These allocations are identified in column D of attachment C. Next is attachment D that provides a narrative of those items being brought to the subcommittee for consideration. In summary, just a few highlights, which are the following. Request for approval of $455,346, a decrease of $310,852 from prior year, for court-appointed dependency collections reimbursement. Allocation is based on anticipated court revenue collection decrease. It is approved by feedback via action by email and will be presented to the council at its May 2020 business meeting. The 2020-21 allocation for replacement of reading equipment will be used to purchase an estimated 59 magnetometers and 44 X-ray machines. The request reflects a 500,000 increase from 2019-20. Next is 325,000 that goes to California State Auditor, and it might seem as the full amount increased from 2019-20, but technically it's not, because in reality, audits of trial courts occur every other year. Now for self-help centers, request is to approve $25.3 million, no changes in dollar amount from prior year. Even though it might appear as a reduction in allocation, but truly it is a matter of how it is displayed. Funding of $3.7 million that was included in the 2019-20 base allocation is now part of $25.3 million of 2020-21 allocation request and will no longer be included in the base allocation as of 2020-21. The limited three-year funding of $19.1 million was approved through 2018-19 budget change proposal, and funding is sunsetting in 2020-21. There is a 2021-22 budget change proposal in progress that includes a request for ongoing $19.1 million. Lastly, so you can be assured that TCDF has sufficient funds to support all requests, please see attachment E, which displays the Child Court Trust Fund Condition Statement. It is projected for 2020-21 to have a fund balance of $73.5 million, of which approximately $28.5 million is restricted and $45 million is unrestricted projected balance at the end of 2020-21. Therefore, TCDF is anticipated to have adequate funds to support the 2020-21 proposed preliminary allocation. In conclusion, it is important to emphasize the fact that we are going forward on the basis of what is known from the proposed governor's budget, which was released in January. Due to the COVID-19 crisis, final allocation amount for 2020-21 for TCDF will be based on available state revenues and final budget decisions, so that some modification might be necessary based on potential state revenue reductions and priority changes. With that, should committee members have any questions, we are happy to answer. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for Ms. Tuck? Any discussion? All right, the recommendation is on page 18 of the materials. If there's no discussion, do I hear a motion?
This is Judge Kelly. I would move
to
adopt the recommendation.
Well, this is Carter. I'll move. Oh, sorry.
Okay, I think it was Judge Kelly got first and Ms. Carter seconded. Is that okay with you, Sherry?
That's perfect.
Okay, is there any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing nothing, is anyone opposed to approving the recommendation that's set forth? I'm sorry, is someone talking? No. Is anyone opposed to the recommendation as set forth on page 18 and as adopted in the motion? All right, it sounds like that item is approved. I believe that completes the formal agenda. Is there any further business from anyone on the committee?
Yeah, Judge Barton, this is Mike Planet. I jumped on the call late. Just want to let you know I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
Judge Barton, this is Sherry. I just want to compliment the Judicial Council staff for keeping their programs within their budget. I think they have done a really good job in doing that, and as we face uncertainties next year, it's particularly important. So I do want to tell them how much I appreciate them keeping these important projects within budget, and also for the great materials that they put together for us to review it so easily at the meeting today.
Okay, I would echo that. I think the materials were very helpful. Is there any further discussion? All right, hearing nothing, I think we'll call it a meeting and adjourn. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you and goodbye.